A research group citing the extension of the modified lockdown in Metro Manila for the significant decline in new COVID-19 cases. The Philippines expanding its list of foreigners allowed to enter the country. Addressing vaccine hesitancy among Valenzuela city residents, will tackle that with Valenzuela Mayor Rex Gachalian. And the Philippines filed yet another diplomatic protest against China, this time for the presence of the Chinese Coast Guard in Bajo de Masinloc. Later on in the program, we will speak with the head of fishermen's group Pamalakaya on their call for the United Nations to act on the maritime dispute. Hi, I'm Carmelina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. A group of local researchers seeing a downtrend of new COVID-19 cases in Metro Manila following the extension of the modified lockdown. In its latest report, the Octa Research Group says the reproduction number in the National Capital Region fell to 0.83 last week. It points out Metro Manila had an average of 3,144 new COVID-19 cases in the past 7 days, which is 18% lower compared to the previous week. The group also says if the reproduction number stays at its current rate, the number of new infections in the NCR could decrease to less than 3,000 in the following weeks. But should the reproduction number rise again, Octa says there may be a need to revisit current quarantine restrictions. Metro Manila, along with Bulacan, Cavite, Rizal, are currently under a flexible modified enhanced community quarantine to curb the spread of the virus. More than 8,300 new COVID-19 cases recorded in the Philippines on Sunday. This brings the country's total to nearly 1,055,000. The health department also reported 77 new fatalities and over 9,000 recoveries. Healthcare workers are now putting the pressure on the government to improve their pandemic response efforts.
Nakikita talaga namin yung hirap, no? Lalo na nung nag-surge talaga at bumalik yung dami ng bilang ng kaso. Bagamat binibigyan namin ng premium yung paglahok ng mamamayan dun sa usapin ng pagsugpo sa pagkalat ng COVID-19, hindi naman pwede natin isisisi na lang lagi sa kanila kasi syempre yung rekurso, yung main support system pa rin ay manggagaling sa pamahalan.
As of April 24, ang nakapost sa mga Department of Health sa kanilang update ay 88 lang yung namatay. Pero nung nakita natin sa Department of Health yung mga nagki-claim sa compensation, umabot na ito sa 141. As of March 29, ang alam natin, masigit pa doon sa 141 na namatay kasi lately lang, last month, ang dami namatay.
Around 6,000 new contact tracers are expected to boost the country's fight against the pandemic. The new contact tracers will be deployed in the National Capital Region beginning this month. The Labor Department has allotted 280 million pesos for the project. It covers a three-month salary for the new contact tracers. It's around 537 pesos a day, or the daily minimum wage rate for workers in the NCR. The Philippines expands the list of foreign nationals allowed to enter the country beginning May 1st. Foreign nationals with valid and existing immigrant and non-immigrant visas can visit the Philippines. However, those with recent travel history to India within 14 days remain barred from coming to Manila. The Philippines' cap of 1,500 daily arrivals remains in place. Results of the Philippines' clinical trial on ivermectin as COVID-19 treatment could be released by the first quarter of next year. That's according to Dr. Jaime Montoya, Executive Director of the Science and Technology Department's Philippine Council for Health Research and Development. Dr. Montoya says the clinical trial will start by the end of May or the first week of June. The study will cover mild to moderate COVID-19 cases in quarantine facilities.
kasi po i-monitor sila araw-araw, kailangan po ay nasa quarantine facility sila. Dahil hindi po natin makakayanan kung nasa bahay lang po sila, pupuntahan po sila isa-isa ng ating mga researcher. Hindi po natin kaya yon.
President Duterte had ordered the DOST to hold a clinical trial on the use of ivermectin against COVID-19 last April. Ivermectin is registered as an anti-parasitic drug here in the Philippines, though some hospitals have compassionate use permit to use the medicine as COVID-19 treatment. Well, the vaccines are slowly trickling in, but people are still not showing up to get vaccinated. The city of Valenzuela not leaving anything to chance. Its mayor now joins us to explain. Mayor Rex Gatchalian, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Camina. Thank you for having me again. Maganda tanghali sa lahat ng nanonood as well.
All right, so to continue our discussion last week, before the intervention, though, which we're going to talk about later on, what was the situation there in Valenzuela in terms of vaccine hesitancy, in terms of people going to the vaccination sites and getting themselves vaccinated there?
I mean, we can cluster them into two groups, people who registered by themselves and those that were initially saying, we don't know how to use the system, especially for the older folks. We don't have internet access. We don't have a smartphone. So for those that were registering by themselves, naturally, the turnout rate was quite high. It started with 55, it ended in close to 90, meaning people who were taking the initiative to register actually wants to get vaccinated. So we went through the list of those A2, people with seniors and people with comorbidity. We finished everybody who registered that falls into that category. Then we took one step further. We wanted to address the technology kinks, people who didn't have smartphones, senior citizens who didn't have loads. So we pre-registered all of them using our senior citizen list. Okay. Sadly, for the past 3 days run, we are not seeing a higher turnout compared to those that registered. For those that registered, it would be at around 85 to 90%. For those that we registered for them, the senior citizens, we're only doing 45 to 55%. So clearly, there's a drop-off in turnout for those that we registered by themselves for them.
Yeah. So what were the reasons now? What are the reasons you've been to why to get vaccinated if you took the initiative of registering for them, Mayor?
Well, initially, like I said, their reason was technology hurdles. So now that there's no technology hurdle, see, Carmina, what will happen is you'll get an appointments letter delivered to your household. So it gives us a chance to get a feel of their sentiments. What they're normally saying now is, we want to wait till our neighbors get vaccinated. We want to see. They're not a hard no. I wouldn't call them hard no, but they're more in that sidelines watching things progress. Things that we would hear would be, we want to wait further, give it a couple of months or days so that we can see if there are really no side effects. Mm-hmm. Number two, we want more senior citizens like us getting vaccinated before we take the plunge. So it's more of wait and see as an attitude. They're more of in the middle ground rather than a hard no. They're in that no with reservations, and the following reservations will be, it's not a brand per se, but rather the concept of getting vaccinated and wanting to see if those that got inoculated are okay months later.
You know, Mayor, I've been hearing that this situation in Valenzuela is not exclusive to Valenzuela. I've been hearing that a lot of mayors are also having a hard time, especially when you talk about the lower income families. Now, have you talked to your colleagues in the council, and have you sort of tried to decode this, and have you figured out how you're going to reach these people? Because it is important that they get vaccinated. Mayor.
Carmina, we have had so many discussions already, including with the private sector. In fact, just a couple of last week, we sat down with the medical practitioners from the private sector, and they're all saying that it has to be, we have to stimulate demand by making conscious informed advertorials, meaning we have to embark, just like selling a product, we have to sell the proposition that getting vaccinated is good for them, getting vaccinated is beneficial to them. In fact, we are now working with the group of Belus, in trying to come up with a demand stimulation game plan. We all know that there are expertise in the private sector, marketing expertise in the private sector that we can tap into. And actually, they were reaching out late last Friday and telling me that they want me to meet with up with them so that they can help us craft communication plans. Carmina, definitely we have our own communication plans, but it wouldn't hurt if we get marketing experts to come on board and help us sell the proposition.
Yeah, and it should be the same, not just for Valenzuela, but across the board, because we're seeing this across all cities.
This initiative was launched by the MMDA. They hooked us up with the private sector initiative led by Belus and Ayala Healthway. So it's something that we will be working on. At this point in time, we still have a long list to go through. Case in point, Valenzuela has 57,000 senior citizens. So if the first couple hundreds pass out on it, you know, we'll have to keep on going through the list until we exhaust it. And then we'll find out who really doesn't want to get inoculated. Carmina, one thing that I've noticed, the more common tao or the more Juan de la Cruz getting inoculated, the more the proposition becomes palatable to everybody. When we started off with the people with comorbidity, funny, some would register but they won't show up. Mm-hmm. But suddenly when they started seeing people like them getting vaccinated and ending up okay, then they suddenly start calling us and say, look, we want to get a reappointment already.
Okay.
I think this will start happening. It's a snowball effect. It takes time to build a bigger snowball, but we have to stimulate the demand by making them understand why this is good for them. Definitely, we are still far off from getting 100% subscription, but we're getting there.
In the meantime, though, how is this going to affect the rollout of the vaccination plan? Is it hampering? Because right, you're going to have to finish everything in the A1, A2, and the A3 before you can get on to the A4 and down the line, Amir?
Yeah. From my understanding, the way it was explained to us, for now, because we have limited supply of vaccines, mm-hmm. yes, we have to exhaust A1, A2, and A3. But when the vaccine volumes start coming in, they will start liberalizing it. I think we're not just seeing this in the Philippines, but we're seeing it even in the United States, where they've already reached a threshold na the tipping, they're done with those that really want to get vaccinated. And now they have to convince those that don't want to get vaccinated. They're starting to hit that wall already. Sa atin, I think what's beneficial to us is we have the luxury of time to somehow cascade this, the benefits to it. Like, I'll give you an example again, Carmina. One last thing. 57,000. That's a whole lot of list to rummage on. Hindi pa naman ako, I'm now nowhere halfway through it. So I really believe that we can convince more of those people in the middle column to go to the yes column and then get more people to convince more people while we roll out these plans.
In a twisted way, Mayor, one would think that it's a good thing that you know, the hesitancy is there because you don't have the vaccines yet, at least the whole amount of the vaccines that's needed to inoculate the 57,000 senior citizens, Mayor.
I wouldn't say it's good because in an ideal setting, dapat nandyan lahat and lahat sila nakapila because it's good for them. But for now, at least meron kaming time to digest. So what are we doing, for instance? Just like in airlines, we're overbooking. So if we were supposed to do, let's say, 50 senior citizen per hour, given that the turnout rate is at 45 to 55%, we're sending out more invitations, more appointments. So parang may overbooking scheme na kami in place right now. So it gives us time to recalibrate and to retool our rollout plan. Siyempre, when we crafted the rollout plan, we were thinking of the ideal setting. Vaccines on hand, database on hand, simply match them up. But now that we're hitting this wall, we have to recalibrate. Like, how do we convince is one thing, but how do we maximize the amount of time that we have right now and get more people inoculated?
Is it also a possibility, since you've already reached out to your constituents, the elderly at least, and registered for them, is it also a possibility that you're going to do house-to-house vaccination if that's what it's going to take to get them vaccinated, Mayor?
I mean, we can only do the house to house for bedridden folks or for people who are not mobile, because you have to remember, The process laid out to us entails a lot of logistics. You have to do a screening ahead of time. You have to do a consultation, education information portion where you explain to them. Then afterwards, you do the multiple BP checks. You have to remember, once you are inoculated, there's a post-monitoring that's very stringent. And which are good because we're dealing with people who are quite fragile, so to speak. They're a bit older. They have comorbidities. They're not as sturdy as younger folks are. So I'm not sure if the logistics will be possible that you do it for 57,000. Kung gagawin natin yun, Carmina, worry ko, baka ilan years na hindi pa tayo tapos. Kasi the BP, do you remember, I'm sure you've, I think you've done yours.
Yes,
di ba meron common area where they all sit and you do three or four rounds of blood pressure check. Yeah. And then the doctors will be around asking you, do you feel flustered? Do you feel any? So I think the bottom line here is we have time to convince more people and we really have to embark on a demand stimulation campaign. We have to stimulate demand in this case.
Okay. Finally, before we let you go, the Ochner Research Group showing a downtrend in the cases. Is that the same case there in Valenzuela? Where are we at in terms of your positivity rate, recoveries as well? Maybe you can talk about deaths as well there in Valenzuela, Mayor.
Okay. The active cases hover at 1,089 this morning. We're definitely seeing a downturn in the positivity rate. We were hovering at 22% 2 weeks ago. Now we're down to 18 to 20%. On an average, 19. We would want it to go down faster, but you know, it's a slow descent. I think because I would surmise it's the new variant. So, you know, it's a different creature, but definitely there's a downtrend. Definitely we're seeing lesser cases, but it's not as fast of a downtrend as we want to. Yeah. Number of deaths, it's still at the same at 2%. Recoveries still outnumber people inside the isolation facilities. So I think if current trends continue and people follow the minimum health protocols and the MECQ effects get to be felt weeks later, I think we're seeing a positive turnout this time.
And what are your thoughts as a mayor, knowing that national government now has expanded the list of those who can enter the country? This amid what is happening in India and also the variant in India located in 17 other countries as of last count. Mayor.
Well, Carmina, we just have to be vigilant. I understand that there are economic reasons why certain things must be done. And in Valenzuela City, we'll just be very vigilant. I always believe that it's in the consistency in application of protocols. Like in our case, we don't do home quarantine. We make sure that everybody's in an isolation facility. We don't relent in testing. We're doing close to 700 samples every day already. We don't mind moving that up a bit higher and making sure that we contact trace in the most efficient possible way. In the case of Valenzuela, we're relying heavily on our technology platform, ValTrace, rather than doing it manually so that we get a richer, more expansive contact trace list. So it's the persistence and consistency in the application of what protocols are given to us.
All right. Now, Valenzuela Mayor Rex Gatchalian, always a pleasure talking to you. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina. Magandang tanghali.
Right, moving on with the rest of the news this noon, a leading Indian industry body urges authorities to prioritize the health of the public over the economy as the country battles surging coronavirus cases there. In a statement, the Confederation of Indian Industry said steps such as curtailing economic activity are needed to reduce India's suffering. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government is reluctant to impose a national lockdown amid concerns on its economic impact. That says authorities reported 392,488 cases, make that new cases, just in the last 24 hours. Deaths, meanwhile, jumped by a record 3,689. This takes the country's overall toll to over 215,000. Experts have called for global efforts to help India deal with the pandemic.
First of all, I'd like to thank the countries who've made offer of help for India. And I am quite sure that all the countries around the globe, they realize that the stakes are not just for the Indians, but the stakes are for the entire world. And WHO said that they would be providing prefabricated units and all those kind of things. We need oxygen. We need vehicles for transporting it. We need medicines. anything, any such help, whichever way it comes, would be, I think, very welcome.
Hospitals in Argentina filled to the brim as coronavirus cases in that country hit 3 million. A second wave of infections battering the country, filling up intensive care units and setting new daily records for cases and deaths. This despite toughened government measures to bring down the spread of infections. Medical workers say the key to a recovery would be speeding up a stalled vaccination campaign. For the first time in 8 months, the Spanish city of Verona got some of its nightlife back last weekend, all thanks to a digital COVID-19 pass scheme. Take a look.
Their faces may be partially covered, but there's no hiding their delight as clubbers in the Spanish city of Girona move to the beats of house music put on by a live DJ on Saturday. It's the first time in 8 months that Girona had some of its nightlife back, thanks to a pilot digital pass scheme, which authorities hope will allow for socializing without spreading coronavirus. Participants were asked to download an app to their mobile phones and either undergo an antigen COVID-19 test, show a negative PCR test, or prove that they've already had coronavirus. They were then given a digital pass to go to a concert or dine out at 5 participating restaurants. The pass is valid for up to 36 hours and costs between $3 and $10.50. Organizers, Blockchain Center of Catalonia, hope the scheme will revive Girona's hospitality sector. Earlier, organizers said that a trial concert in Barcelona in March, where 5,000 people took rapid COVID-19 tests and crammed into a venue without social distancing, did not drive up infections, giving hope for a revival of the live music sector.
Well, live music has also returned to Wuhan, the Chinese city where the COVID-19 pandemic began in late 2019. And as this report tells us, thousands attended one of China's largest music festivals without masks.
An absence of masks against an abundance of music. One of China's largest outdoor music festivals kicked off on Saturday in Wuhan, where the global health crisis first began last year. Residents there lived through more than 2 months of stringent restrictions under the first lockdowns in 2020. But since then, the city has become almost completely virus-free, according to official data. On Saturday, nearly 11,000 people showed up to the Strawberry Music Festival held in Wuhan's Garden Expo Park. Although this year the crowd size was limited, one Wuhan native felt the celebration was well-deserved.
Last year we suffered from the outbreak. It has not been easy to get to where we are today, where we can have a music festival like this one today. People here have put in huge efforts and paid a big price, so I feel very excited to be here.
Similar events are being held across China, including in Beijing, during the country's 5-day national holiday.
Going to take a break now. Up ahead, a fisherman's group calls on the United Nations to intervene in the maritime dispute between Manila and Beijing. You're watching Dateline Philippines. Stay with us here on ANC. Here still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. A research group citing the extension of the modified lockdown in Metro Manila for the significant decline in new COVID-19 cases. The Philippines expanding its list of foreigners allowed to enter the country. And the Philippines files yet another diplomatic protest against China, this time for the presence of the Chinese Coast Guard in Bajo de Masinloc. And yet this just in, former officials of the Department of Agrarian Reform facing charges over their failure to distribute over 2,000 certificates of land ownership to farmers. April Rafales now joins us on the line to tell us more about this. April, go ahead.
Carmina, a total of 2,007 Certificate of Land Ownership Awards, or CLOAs, and Emancipation Patents, or EPs, were recently discovered inside two sacks in the Department of Agrarian Reform's regional office in Cebu. These CLOAs and EPs cover 1,636 hectares of land in around 20 to 35 municipalities in the province. These CLOAs, which date back to as far as 1987, were supposed to be distributed to the farmers, who are Agrarian Reform beneficiaries. Agrarian Reform Chief John Castrosion has ordered the investigation on 13 employees and officials, but he said the numbers will probably increase as the investigation progresses. He added that criminal and administrative cases will also be filed, since these CLOAs are supposed to be distributed immediately the moment they are released to the Department of Agrarian Reform by the Registry of Deeds. Castrosion has also ordered the immediate distribution of 422 EPs and CLOAs, while the remaining 1,585 are still subject for validation. Meanwhile, if the beneficiary is no longer alive, the department will reallocate these titles. The lands, once handed over to the farmers, will remain as agricultural lands. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. April Rafales there joining us on the line. Take care, April. Keep safe. Well, another day, another diplomatic protest filed by the Philippines against China over its incursions in Philippine waters. The Foreign Affairs Department said the latest protest was filed for what it calls belligerent actions made by the Chinese Coast Guard against the Philippine Coast Guard in the vicinity of Bajo de Masinloc on April 24 to 25. The DFA also cited the illegal and increasing presence of Chinese fishing and maritime militia vessels in Philippine maritime zones. This has forced Manila to file a series of diplomatic protests against Beijing. Meanwhile, Philippine Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana has declared that the patrols in the West Philippine Sea will continue, as he denies any disagreement with President Rodrigo Duterte on how to handle the issue. A fisherman's group urging the United Nations to act on Chinese incursions in the West Philippine Sea, the Pambansang Lakas ng Kilusang Mamalakaya, or Pamalakaya, says their petitions call on the UN to declare the China Coast Guard law null and void. The group also seeking the demilitarization of the South China Sea and a probe on the effects of Chinese incursions on the livelihood of fishermen and domestic food security. The group also cites the lack of concrete and decisive actions from the Duterte administration. And we're now going to speak to the national chairperson of Pamalakaya, Fernando Hicap, now joins us from Manila. Kapando, magandang hapon po. Thank you for joining us today.
Magandang hapon, KC, at sa ating mga tagapanood. Magandang hapon po.
Okay, marami na pong petisyon ang inihain sa United Nations. Why do you think it's important for the UN to hear from the fishermen themselves? Bakit po importante na mismong ang boses ng mga mangingisda ang marinig ng United Nations? Kapando?
Para sa amin, napakalaga na dapat maipaabot ng mga mangingisda ng Pilipino, Tropa Malakaya Pilipinas, ang aming paninindigan at posisyon kaugnay dito sa patuloy, na occupation and reclamation ng Chinese government, ng mga Chinese fishermen, commercial fishing vessel, at saka yung pananatili ng mga Chinese militia at mga Chinese Coast Guard sa Philippine Sea. At isa na kinabahala namin, pinakamatindi, itong January 22, kung natatandaan natin, na lumabas sa balita sa international news na ipinasa ng Chinese government yung Coast Guard law na kung saan ay inaatasa yung mga Chinese Coast Guard na barilin sino man ng mga foreigner, ng mga fisherman o fishing vessel o fishing vessel na pumasok pa sa kanilang teritoryo. Kaya po nabahala kami, kasi 80% ng West Philippine Sea yung kiniklaim ng Chinese government based doon sa kanilang nine dash line, diyan sa West Philippine Sea. Kaya napakalawak po, 80% ng ating West Philippine Sea, yung saklo nito, Kaya napakalaki po at napakalawak ng pangisdaan at napakalaki yung impact nito sa mga mangisda. At saka yung pananatili, no? At hindi napag-alis ng mga Chinese militia, Chinese Coast Guard sa West Philippine Sea. At katunayan, yung mga reklamo nung nakaraang taon ay nagpapatuloy dyan yung harassment sa mga Filipino fishermen, ng mga Chinese Coast Guard at militia. At ganoon din yung pagwasak, no? Ng ating pangisdaan at walang pakundangan na sirain at tumbusin yung natural resources. Kaya po kami nagpasya ang pamalakayan na formally bilang mga mangisda na siyang pangunahing tinamaan na sektor, no, ang biktima nitong patuloy na reklamasyon at occupation ng Chinese government sa West Philippine Sea. Kaya minabuti namin na kami mismo galing sa amin ay formally na magsulat ng petition para aksyonan ng United Nations dahil wala po kaming nakikitang maasahan sa ating present government kasi mismo si Pangulong Duterte, no, yung last tone niya sabi, galing mismo sa kanya na sinasabi niya na inutile siya diyan sa pagtugon, no, sa issue ng West Philippine Sea. Pero sa amin ay hindi po inutile 'yon kundi traitor 'yon, no, katraiduran.
Alam niyo, Kapando. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, yes, Kapando. Pasensya na po at kailangan natin na
okay, sige po.
Pa urungin itong ating interview, no. Ito yung isa sa aspeto diyan sa maritime dispute na marami ang hindi nakakaintindi that it will have to do with food security. Nung una, 'di ba, nung una ang sinasabi ito ay usapin ng teritoryo. Pero kasama na rin dito bigla ang naging usapin sa security. Pero ngayon ang hindi na pag-uusapan ay usapin na rin ito ng food security. At hindi lamang security ng bansa, hindi lamang seguridad ng mga mangingisda, pero food security na rin ang pinag-uusapan dito ng buong bansa, Kapando.
Tama po 'yon. Tama po yung PC. At saka hindi lang po sa ngayon, yun po yung present na kinakaharap natin, ano, yung food security na tapos yung impact niya, ano, at ang nakakabahala pa pag natuloy, ano, yung mga oil and gas exploration diyan sa West Philippine Sea. Ito talagang pagdambong 'yan, ano, pag-plunder na 'yan doon sa ating national patrimony.
Yeah. Now, what makes you think that the UN has the power to declare void one nation's law, such as the China Coast Guard Law? Kasi yun po ang hinihingi nyo. Declare it void. Yan ang hiling nyo sa United Nations. Go ahead, Kapando.
Oo, kasi naniniwala kami, no? Kasi ang umiiral para maiwasan yung ganitong mga di pagkakasundo, no? Na humantong ng bawat bansa doon sa disputed territorial water. Kaya nga ipinasaya ng United Nations na state, ay composition na ng state to, eh, ng estado, di ba? Yung UNCLOSE. Tapos yung UNCLOSE po ay malino na nilabag nitong ginagawa ng China na patuloy, no, na pag-occupy sa West Philippine Sea, at lalo nang nilabag niya yung 2016 arbitral ruling na kung saan yung kanilang claim na nine dash line ay ibinasura na.
Yun ang nagiging palaisipan din kasi para sa nakararami, no. Of course, obligado ang China na talagang sumunod. Pero kapag pinag-uusapan itong China Coast Guard Law, ito ay internal law na sila mismo ang sa bansa nila mismo ito ay pinatupad. So kapag halimbawa ang Pilipinas meron din ganitong klaseng batas, halimbawa maaari ba nating payagan ng UN na sabihin na itong ating batas ay hindi nararapat? Kaya nga po ang tanong dito, ano sa tingin ninyo, magagawa ba kaya talaga ito ng UN para sabihin illegal itong China Coast Guard Law, Kapando?
Ito po yung aming inaasahan, no, na aksyonan ng UN kasi malinaw naman na ito ay labag doon sa UNCLOSE at ito ay paglabag doon sa 2016 arbitral ruling, no, na itong tama at merong ano yan, karapatan naman ano, yung bawat bansa na magpatupad ng kanilang internal security measure o right. marine security, pero dapat doon sa talagang exclusive ano o sa kanilang exclusive economic zone based doon sa United Zone Clause na kinikilala yung karapatan ng bawat bansa sa kanilang territorial water, no? Pero ang napakakabahala po kasi itong patuloy na pag-iigit no ng gobyerno ng China dito sa kanilang nine dash line claim na kung saan ay 80% ng saklaw nito yung ating West Philippine Sea, no? Kaya malinaw nalagpas na ito doon sa kanilang territorial marine zone, no? Economic okay. zone. Ito ay mahigit na sa 200 nautical miles from the Chinese, mula sa China, no? Kaya malinaw na ito ay paglabag, kaya nakakabala. Kung hindi susundin at hindi sinusunod ng China, kaya umaasa kami na aaksyonan, no? Ng United Nations dahil talagang nakakabahala itong ginagawa ng China.
Yung isa pang inaasahan nyo na aksyon mula sa United Nations ay ang pag-demilitarize ng China Sea. Ang tanong ngayon, yes. Kapando, if this is what you're asking for, if this is what you're seeking from the United Nations, alam naman natin na hindi naman umusbong itong mga structures na to overnight. No? Hindi naman ito natulog lang tayo, biglang pagising natin, meron na doon. Unti-unti nila itong ginagawa. Ngayon, kung unti-unti nila itong ginawa, edi sana dati pa nagkaroon ng aksyon ng UN. So paano nyo sa tingin, ano sa tingin nyo, magagawa ba nila ito ngayon na nariyan na itong mga strukturang ito, Kapando?
Actually, tingin namin kaya, no? Ang kailangan lang talaga natin. Kasi ano na eh, wala namang batayan na eh, maging legal, historical claim, no? ng China ay wala na. Talagang walang basihan, legal man o moral. At hindi naman pwedeng sabihin nila yung historical na sila ay nakakapangisda. Ibig bang sabihin kung dahil more than 300 years tayo naging colony ng Spanish hanggang ngayon, dapat Spanish tayo. Diba? Hindi naman dapat. Kasi meron tayong sariling bansa at meron tayong nagsasariling ekonomiya at meron tayong teritoryo. Kaya isa na tayong bansa na dapat kilalanin, no? Kaya hindi pwedeng yung claim o mga batayan ng pagigiit ng China dahil doon mga historical. Wala pong batayan yun. Kaya nga naiano yung unclose eh, para maiwasan na yung hindi dapat mangyari na awayan sa mga water dispute o territorial dispute ng iba't ibang bansa para mas little and sa mapayapang paraan.
Alam niyo, Kapando,
kami inaasahan dapat mapayapang pagkaan, hindi po gira, no? Kasi itong nakakabala kasi kisikang bakit namin gusto namin na demilitarize yung China, yung West Philippine Sea. Hindi lang China eh. Yung maaari na magkaroon talaga ng provokasyon diyan kasi pati yung US, no? Military ay pupasok diyan. Ito yung iniiwasan natin na magkaroon ng gira diyan sa West Philippine Sea ng US at saka ng China. Na tayo na naman yung paglulunsaran ng gira at nag-check tayo yung mga epekto na walang magkikinabang, lalong titindi yung kawalang pag-asa, no, ng mga mangis ng Pilipino na maging malaya at ligtas dyan sa napangisdaan dyan kasi, sa West Philippine Sea.
Kasi pag talagang hindi mo kailangan suriin ng matindi itong China Coast Guard law eh, isa lang talagang pinapatunay nito eh. Ang sinasabi nila, kahit sino na makita nilang threat yes. to their security, eh kahit ano, eh pwede nilang gawin. So pwedeng kayo yon, Kapando. Pwedeng kayo at mga kasamahan ninyo, pwedeng ang Chinese, ang Coast Guard mismo natin, pwedeng ang US. Diba? Yes. Yun ang sinasabi ninyo, na baka tayo na naman ang maipit. Ngayon, balik tayo dun sa food security. No? This is not the first time that the UN will be dealing with the issue of food security in international waters. Meron sa pagbuo kasi nila ng UNCLOS, kaya nga nabuo yung mga EEZ na yan, di po ba? Para protektahan ang food security yes. in in the maritime domains of of other countries. So dito kayo umaasa na go ahead, Kapano.
Natingin namin ay makatarungan at lehitimo, no? Kasi ito yung basic right natin, eh, na karapatan sa pagkain, karapatang mabuhay, no? Ng kanilang pinagkukunan. Tingin ko lahat naman ng bansa maliban sa China ay may commitment, no, sa ganito, itong umiiral ng mga pulisiya sa UN. Kaya umaasa kami na aaksyonan. Kasi very soon talaga, timigit, na dapat ay magawa ng aksyon. Kasi si Pangulong Duterte, yung gobyerno sana natin ang pinaka may pinakam dapat, no, na responsibilidad para igiit yung ating territorial water dyan. Ang problema, hindi natin maaasahan ngayon, eh. Kasi yung kanyang mga statement naging ano pa, eh, nagiging statement leading pa para ipag-iit at manatili yung mga Chinese militia.
Ito na nga ang tanong natin, Kapando. Yes, Kapando, ito na nga ang panghuling tanong natin. Do you think that your petitions will be successful even without the voice of President Duterte? Napanggit nyo na po, medyo wala kayong inaasahan dito kay Pangulong Duterte, pero hinggil dito sa petisyon, tingin nyo ba magiging successful ito kahit wala ang suporta o ang tinig ni Pangulong Duterte? To back it up, go ahead, Kapando.
Oo, kasi ito naman legitimate, eh, yung aming demand, at ito kami yung biktima, kaya kami yung merong kumbaga, meron talagang batayan para magreklamo sa ibang bansa o sa ibang tao dahil hindi inaksyonan ng ating gobyerno mismo, no? Na dapat siya yung ma-action para matiyak. Even the constitution natin, violation yan, eh. Kasi sumumpa siya sa ating constitution na ipagtatanggol niya ang constitution na ating sovereign right at ating patrimony niya. Pero itong ginagawa niya sa West Philippine Sea, at ang masama pa nga, di ba, nakakasamang loob mismo siya, eh. Hindi niya kinila yung advertised decision no 2016 at sinabi pa nga niya tutlis, eh, ni Pangulong Duterte. Talagang ayaw niya ipatupad. Alam naman namin, eh, kasi doon sa pangako sa kanya ni President Xi Jinping na loan, no? At saka ngayon, ito, ginagamit na naman yung bakuna. Hindi naman dapat...
Okay, Kapando, naubusan na po tayo ng oras. We're gonna have to leave it at that. Fernando Hicap, National Chairperson of Fishermen's Group Pamalakaya. Maraming salamat po. Ingat po kayo. Take care.
Maraming salamat, Kisi, at mabuhay po kayo at ingat din po kayo.
Salamat po.
Bye-bye.
Ingat po. And moving on with the rest of the news today, the National Police Commission has only one candidate to replace Police Chief General Dibold Sinas. That's according to the NAPOLCOM's head agency, the Interior and Local Government Department. The controversial police chief is set to retire this Saturday, May 8th. President Rodrigo Duterte is expected to name Sinas' replacement today or sometime this week.
Meron na kaming na-submit na recommendation kay Pangulong Duterte. Na last week to ay isang pangalan lang. No? Hindi ko lang pwede mabanggit kung sino ito. Pero ang pinagmasya naman namin dito ay ang merit at seniority at yung capability ng kanyang leadership at yung base sa kanyang mga previous assignments sa PNP organization.
In business, the Philippines' socio-economic planning secretary sees the economy returning to pre-pandemic levels next year. But NEDA Secretary Carl Chua maintains it will only be possible if the government is able to manage economic risks amid the pandemic. Chua adds the country needs to further open the economy this year to achieve the Development Budget Coordination Committee's growth estimate of 6.5% to 7.5% for 2021.
We have to move out of MECQ by the end of the middle or the end of the month. We cannot be in MECQ for the entire year. Last year, we were in a combination of GCQ, MECQ, and ECQ. So we have to use this 2 months very wisely. This is not going to be easy, but it will happen if we do 3 things. Okay. So number one, we manage the risk, open the economy as safely as we can, and not be totally risk averse, which happened last year. The second is we have a package of recovery measures, so we have to implement them in an accelerated manner. And number three, and most importantly, we deploy our vaccination program as fast as we can.
An employers group is not in favor of the proposed mental health wellness leave being pushed in Congress amid the pandemic. According to Sergio Ortiz Luis Jr., president of the Employers Confederation of the Philippines, employers will not be able to grant mental health wellness days since employees already have quite a number of leaves. He adds, since most employees are in a work-from-home setup, they do not need to take a leave. Ortiz Luis suggests that Congress focus instead on creating more jobs. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen plays down concerns President Joe Biden's plans for infrastructure, jobs, and families will cause inflation. Yellen adds the Federal Reserve will monitor inflation carefully. She says it has the tools to address it if necessary. Biden's plans are paid for by a series of tax increases on the wealthiest Americans, less than 1% of the population, and by raising corporate taxes. Some Democrats fear the tax increase would slow economic growth.
So the spending that's been proposed in the jobs plan and the families plan, it comes into effect once the economy is back on track, and the spending from the rescue plan that's coming into force and helping us get on track after that stimulus is spent. It's spread out quite evenly over 8 to 10 years. So the boost to demand is moderate. And the Federal Reserve has the tools to address inflation should it arise. We will monitor that very carefully. We're proposing that the spending be paid for. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that inflation will be an issue, but if it becomes an issue, we have tools to address it. These are historic investments that we need to make our economy productive and fair.
In sports, two NBA superstars engaged in a shootout in a battle between two title contenders. The Milwaukee Bucks ended up winning 117 to 114 against the Brooklyn Nets on a night that Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kevin Durant each topped 40 points. The Greek Freak dazzled the Nets with 49 points on top of 8 rebounds and 4 assists. He outgunned the Nets' Durant, who finished with 42 points. The loss dropped the Nets to second place in the Eastern Conference behind Philadelphia. Milwaukee ranks third in the East. In Boston, the Portland Trail Blazers pulled off an impressive 129 to 119 road victory against the Celtics. Portland's backcourt of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard combined for 59 points in the win. Teammate Carmelo Anthony sealed it with a three-pointer with just a little over a minute to play. Portland improved to 36 and 28 on the season, while Boston dropped to 34 and 31. A sci-fi drama series and a new animated film. Here's Manny the Movie Guy with what's new on streaming.
Hello, Iris.
Hypnotic and riveting, The Girlfriend Experience returns for Season 3 on Stars with a magnetic Julia Goldani tells as Iris, a neuroscientist by day and a high-paid escort by night.
But she is behaving very unethically in both of her jobs.
Written and directed by Anya Marquardt, the series with a sci-fi twist explores the transactional relationships between an escort and her clients through the understanding of artificial intelligence.
Not so fast.
An intelligence of a different kind is all around us and witnessing our every move.
From its production design to its cinematography, The Girlfriend Experience is about the complexities of human connection, and Tells is our perfect virtual guide in this 10-episode series.
A fantastic performance at the heart of The Girlfriend Experience and truly, truly quite trippy.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really excited about this.
I've really enjoyed getting to know you.
And for that, The Girlfriend Experience Season 3 gets 3.5 out of 4 human relationships kisses. And on Netflix,
let it begin.
I had a great time watching The Mitchells versus the Machines. It has enough bite to satisfy adults, but it's silly and colorful enough to entertain kids.
We're the Mitchells, the only people who can save the world.
How could the worst family in the world save us from attacking machines? In a very clever and super funny way.
Family eye contact.
From the creators of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, The Mitchells versus the Machines is such a delight that even its long-winded ending can be forgiven. And the best part? This one has a lot of heart with a great message for the little ones. And for that, The Mitchells vs. the Machines gets 3.5 out of 4. The family that fights robots together stays together. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for ANC.
And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.